And welcome back to Livingston Parish News Weekly Show, a podcast brought to you by the Livingston Parish News. My name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. And I am, if you watched the sewer episode, we actually just hung around for a second and started recording another one. But I am joined by a guest we haven't had in a while. I'm going to give him a second to introduce himself.
Gerard Landry, the mayor of 7.5 miles of paradise on earth, otherwise known by the rest of the country as Denham Springs.
There we go. If you watch the sewer one, you know he did not give me the 7.5 square miles.
I've been going too long.
Yeah, right? Apparently. Somebody's got to keep you honest here.
That's right.
So we talked about sewer last time. This time we are still talking about infrastructure, but now we are talking about roads. And there's a lot going on. You and I talked about it before. It's when you think traffic, there are two or three just very specific bottlenecks that you can think of, and that is 4-H Club Road at 190 or Florida Boulevard, for those of you who've been around a little while, as well as Range and I-12. And of course, you can factor Rushing Road into some of that because it connects to both of them, mm-hmm. And typically tries to handle a lot of the overflow. So, you know, first and foremost, we have to start with the fact that when you talk about all of those roads, those intersections, you know, you're talking about state and federal highways that you have very little control over. So tell us a little bit about the background process of, okay, we don't have a lot of control over it, so who do we talk to?
All right. Well, thanks for having me again.
Yes.
It's been quite a while. It's been a minute or two.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about roads, and you brought up a very good point. I'm just going to name these roads off real quick just so people understand. So Louisiana Highway 1032, otherwise known as 4-H Club Road. Range Avenue, otherwise known as LA Highway 3002. Vincent Road, LA Highway 3034. Rushing Road 3003. Florida Boulevard, U.S. Highway 190. And the I-12 interstate is a federal highway. And, it's all these roads that are impacting all of our lives every single day. And we have absolutely no control over what happens, other than calling DOTD headquarters in Baton Rouge or calling District 62 in Hammond, which is our contact folks, and trying to get some changes made. It's been around for decades. This is nothing new for all of us to talk about these issues that we're having. I know in 2015, I started pushing to try and get something done with the exit ramp at Range Avenue because we were backing up onto the interstate. And after several years of fussing and discussing, they finally came out and then they added a lane. So now we got two lanes going north, two lanes going south. I'm not going to say it solved the problems, but it sure made some impact, and we're grateful for anything that they're willing to do because it's a federal highway dumping onto a state road. And then after that, they came and talked to us about this current project that we have, and we talked about this about 3 years ago, and it's an access control module that they want to install, and that's what they're doing currently. About a $4.5 million project. And so they're taking out the suicide lane, is what I always called it, in the center. And they're going to be left turn lane only. And they're going to eliminate some red lights. I can't tell you how many. They're going to eliminate some access points. I think Walmart lost the driveways. A couple of the banks lost the driveways here and there. I think one red light's gone. And I think the timing is going to be different to actually speed up traffic through town. And when you speed up traffic, you worry about the ill effects or the negative effects. But they're saying to us, with the less in and out that people are going to be doing on the road, it should be a lot safer. And so they're going to raise the speed limit. They've already raised the 25 miles an hour by Albertson. The old Albertson bill now is 35.
Right.
So they'll continue to make changes and tweak it as they go.
And I'm glad you started there because that was going to be the first place I wanted to go, was Range Avenue, which is a main artery.
There's 35,000 cars a day get off the interstate at Range. That's a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And look, where are they going? There's only 10,000 people that live in Denham Springs. So the rest of them are going to Watson, or they're going south, they're going to Walker, wherever. And so it seems like all points go through Denham. But it also goes through Jubin. It also goes through Pete's Highway. It also goes through Walker. So we have to look at not necessarily a global picture, but we need to expand our thought process to try and get something done on a much larger scale that's going to benefit all of us and all of us for a long time. We have been very fortunate. I want to tell you guys, myself and Jimmy Watson have been meeting for probably 8 or 9 months now with Buddy Mincy and Rogers Pope, and they have been able to get us some P2 and some P5 financing or funding, I should say, locked up in the legislature to make some improvements for all of us going forward. And Buddy was able to get us this young man, Ryan Morvance, his name, and I love his business card. He's a critical projects manager for DOTD. Well, this is critical, and we definitely need his expertise to try and get this thing moving in the right direction. So we work very closely with him. As one of the side benefits of what I do as a mayor, I'm on the Capital Region Planning, of which I'm vice chair of the executive board. And so we're reaching out to these folks and trying to get all the help that we can. They just approved a $300,000 study to look at Forest Club Road, Range Avenue, Peace Highway, and Walker, because this is a regional problem. This is not just here. Everywhere you go, traffic is backed up, and we need to have a regional approach to get this thing repaired.
And I know one of the things mentioned about that was perhaps a braided exit, which you can see. It's almost like a secondary. It's not quite a service road. It's not quite part of the interstate. But if you've ever been interested in it, if you go south or northbound on I-10 in South Baton Rouge around Seguin, Bluebonnet, that's kind of what they're maybe envisioning, maybe not. It's an option.
Sure, there's lots of interstate right-of-way that they can access. It doesn't look like a lot, but when you start doing these elevated portions, it really can enhance our quality of life and get traffic moving.
Right. So we talked about the interstate. That's a very long-term deal. As you said, the Range Avenue changes are in the works. They're out there right now cutting and scoring concrete, sealing off driveways, that kind of thing to work towards that goal. Everything else that DOTD is looking at is, you could say, is within a mile of the interstate. It's trying to get people off the interstate or to the interstate and on the interstate and out of there. So let's start with right now you've got Range and I-12. There's a lot that's going to be going on around there, not just Range Avenue itself. So let's talk about some of those projects, including one, because it's important to delineate between what would be DOTD state federal projects and what the city can do itself. So let's start with, I want to start with one that's kind of a pet project of yours. You and I have talked about it for years, which would be once the Cook Road extension is done, you're trying to get it all the way to Range Avenue.
That's
right. So let's start there.
So we want to call it Demco Drive, and Demco Drive, I think, is the appropriate name. Mr. Randy, the guy that runs Demco, him and I met about a year ago, and he is more than happy to donate the right-of-way for us to come across, which is very generous on his part. And his only ask was, can you call it Demco Drive? And I said, well, we've called it the Demco Road forever. It would be strange if we called it anything else. But yes, I think we can make that happen for you. But yes, that would allow another east-west route that would get you from Range all the way to the mall. And not so much the mall, but now we'll get you to the Jubin, which hopefully there'll be a Jubin extension even north now. So that gets some more traffic away from the heart of the city, which is right now Range and the interstate. There's also the diverging diamond process. And there's still space to come from Home Depot Drive all the way down to the roundabout that they want to put at Bass Pro Boulevard. Now, that diverging diamond is one of the things that other states have done. It's really kind of complicated, but you kind of envision what you see at Sherwood Forest and Airline, where you have to kind of change lanes to make.
Right.
So, but a much larger version of it. It's kind of like what you see in Texas quite often. But trust me, these folks are looking at every option that they have, and it always comes down to dollars, right?
Sure.
Especially when a state of 64 parishes, and you got all these road projects everywhere. And just look outside of Florida. They're working on it. Right. We're looking at Baton Rouge. They're working on it. They're trying to get a bridge. They're trying to do the I-10 flyover. I mean, there's so many things going on. Lafayette just got completed, and it was under construction for, I don't know if it was 100 years, but it sure felt like
it. Right? Did. Right? It felt like when they were widening I-12.
Yeah. I had made a presentation at a group in Mandeville not that long ago. Oh, my goodness. The construction work that's going on there is quite interesting. So,
right. So it a lot of... Right now, people probably feel the work going on Range, but it doesn't feel like there's that much work going on, but there's a lot in the work. So we talked about Demco Drive. You brought up something, a roundabout south of I-12. There's also a roundabout that the city's looking at.
Yeah, we want to do one at Bass Pro and Thackeray Lane, which is directly in front of Bass Pro. My hope is that we could take this truck traffic that's coming out of the gas station, and instead of them trying to cut across on Bass Pro, they would have to take a right, go to the roundabout by Bass Pro, and then come back up Range. I mean, come back up and turn left on Range, which the state wants to put another roundabout. So that would eliminate a safety hazard that we have right there and get some of these trucks moving to help get some traffic moving on the south side.
So let's talk about Rushing Road, which is, you know, this interesting, it's a state highway, and it connects Pete's Highway, Range Avenue, and Forage Club Road, which are all problematic.
Mm-hmm.
There are some potential changes that could be coming on both sides of Range Avenue on Rushing Road. Tell us a little bit about what you know about what could happen.
Well, I don't want to panic anybody, but it's the significant changes that would bring, for example, if you were coming up 4-H and you were to turn right on Rushing going towards Home Depot, if you wanted to get on Interstate, you'd have to go straight forward and turn right on Range and get on Interstate. The option that you may lose is that you would not get the Interstate. I'm sorry, you would not be able to get to Range and turn left. If you needed to make a left turn to go north on Range, you'd have to take Home Depot Drive. And Home Depot is one of the roads that we're going to expand, add another lane to it, so that when it circles back around to Range, there will be controlled access, be it a light or a roundabout or whatever DOT decides, so that you can head north. So again, it's an effort to get people away from the intersection the best way they can. On the other side of Range, on Rushing, now there's going to be a connector road that we hope to get from Rushing around where Arby's is and the fireworks stand and have that go up to the new Demco Drive, which would help, again, get people away from the interstate and away from that interchange. They're talking about eliminating the red light at Rushing Range. Now, that's a mind blower for a lot of folks. But again, once you get off the interstate, you should be able just to continue going. And then if you need to get back to, let's say you need to get back to Arby's or whatever, or that backside of the shopping center, you could go up to the new Demco Drive, take a right, go up to the connector drive, take another right, and come back.
Okay.
So it's an effort to get people out of here. Okay. It's obvious 35,000 cars get off a day. They don't live here. They just want to go through. And I get it. Okay. So let's help them get through any way that we can.
Sure. Sure. So we've talked about several of those main highways that are, you know, all of it seems to kind of come to a crux either at Range and I-12 or at 4-H Club Road and 190.
That is true.
Those are the main two places that are being looked at currently. We kind of ran through that a little quicker than I expected to. Anything else?
So 4-H Club Road is one of the ones that Federal Highways has always said it was much too close to Range or it's much too close to Millerville. And so I had the lady that she's one of the higher ups at Federal Highways in my office here, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. And I said, give me the percentages. Tell me, is it 100% chance that I won't get it? And she said, well, no, there's a 5% chance that you might. Well, I'm going on the 5%. Okay, we're still going to work that angle as much as we can and see if we can make that happen for us as well.
Okay? Right. And that's part of that regional desire that, you know, between you, Walker, and some of the exits in between, trying to figure out a way to get people off the interstate into the grid and out of the Denham area.
So, you know, the biggest problem that we have is it's not so much what we have here. Yes, there's a lot of folks that need to get on the interstate. But if the darn thing would flow, you know, we could get on the interstate and make some progress. But there's this impending storm that's out there. It's going to be 3 or 4 years out there. And it's the new bridge and or the I-10 widening, whatever's going on downstream from us. Because right now, I could build you the most beautiful 4-H Club Road interchange, and guess what? You're not going to go anywhere because the interstate is still stopped.
Right.
Range is the same way right now. So that's another issue that we're also working on through Capital Region Planning. Zachary has the same problem. Port Allen, Gonzales, just take your pick, because we all have people that are trying to get to Baton Rouge. And that's where the traffic backups are. Very difficult. There's some small things we can do, like commuter crew. Denver Springs is on the program. We're going to be the first one to roll it out. It's a carpool, ride-sharing kind of a program. That information should be coming out pretty soon. So we can start people thinking about alternative ways to get to Baton Rouge and to get out of here. So, hey, it's baby steps. I wish I could take bigger steps, but right now it's just not possible.
Right, and as we discussed at the beginning, when we got started, when we talk about all these roads that are going to be changed, outside of a roundabout on Bass Pro and Demco Drive, there's not really much else that y'all have effect over. You're just working with DOTD and Capital Region Planning and Federal Highways.
That's it, exactly. So That's my biggest push is capital region planning, because you know that's the only folks that maybe have a little weight.
Sure.
That can make something happen for us.
And so. Real quick, one of the things that I know y'all do is there's a lot of data that you collect and a lot of information that you collect before you start making these pushes. How important is that?
Well, without information, you can't do anything.
Right.
You know, you could go out there and say, look, I got all these people at 4-H Club Road, but when they go out there to 4-H Club Road, they're going to show up at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody there.
Right.
So if I don't have video and or traffic counts that I can produce for them, I will tell you this young guy, Mr. Morvan, the first time we sat down and talked, I said, what are we going to do about 4-H Club Road? And he actually said, do you have a problem on 4-H Club Road? Almost blew my mind, because
right.
we've been screaming this from the rooftops to everybody that we can think of. But the guy that actually, where the rubber meets the road, this is the young man that's going to make it happen, didn't have a clue.
Right.
Now, I'm not criticizing him. He just didn't know.
Right.
But now he does. He's been well-versed.
Now it's on his radar.
It's definitely on his radar. I can assure you of that.
All right. Well, that was quicker than I expected.
Well, you want to go on to Spring Park?
Sure. I get. Yeah. We can rope that in, because that's still kind of a local project. And,
sure.
And hey, it's something that's a little more under y'all's control now
yes.
that something's happened. So let's start there with the First Baptist Church buyout.
Sure.
That finally happened. We had a story in it online and in the paper about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
I sat down and talked with you and Mr. Rick Foster about it. So let's start there. That's done. I believe, according to Rick, Mr. Foster, excuse me, there is still demo that has to occur.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have my note right here on that. And that demo for the 14 properties, that demo request for proposal went out on the 11th.
Okay.
And the request for proposal for First Baptist demolition went out today on the 18th. Okay. So there's 14 properties plus the church. And there are another five owners are registered, and 9 phase one environmental studies will be completed. So we're just now through phase one. We got phase two and phase three. And I can't believe this. It's been in November. It will be 2 years since we started this project. When you deal with state government and with feds, it's just unbelievable how long it takes. But this goes back to the Louisiana watershed. This was millions of dollars that were given to the governor to decide what he wanted to do with flooding. And this particular project was to help remove and give some people relief that were severe reparative losses. And it was the criteria. I don't know if it was 3 or 4 times they flooded or had claims in the last 10 years or something along that line. And they were looking to take care of larger blocks of property. There's grants that you can apply for every year. As a matter of fact, mitigation grants and elevation grants. And we just had a community meeting about 2 or 3 weeks ago at City Hall. But this one was a bit different, because this one was not mitigation in that they were going to raise the homes. They're going to buy these people out that want to participate. They don't have to. But because there's severe repetitive loss, because they can't properly sell that property because of the high cost of flood insurance being that close to the river, and they flooded that many times, some cases these properties are not that desirable because they couldn't afford to fix them up after the flood or the one before. So these folks are going in and getting these volunteers. I mean, if you want to participate, that's fine. They are giving them 100% of retail market value and satisfying all their liens. When they go to the closing, they are debt-free as far as any liens on their property. They have a check. They walk away. They demo the house. They clear the lot, and then they give it to the city. So it's a win-win for everybody. The only reason it's a big win for us is that now all that property, I think the church property is about 4 or 5 acres, which is right next to Spring Park, kind of ties into the Denham Strong initiative that we did back in 2017. And people wanted Spring Park to be the kind of facility that they would be proud to go to, proud to bring their families to. And as an added bonus, we talked about maybe even having river access. So all these pieces are finally starting to come together. The big one was the church. And again, that's going to go away pretty soon. Plus some of these other homes, and they'll approach the other folks that have in phases 2 and 3. We have wish lists and we have dreams. We have some folks that are working on it. We have a grant that we applied for. We have two landscape architects that are now working on the initial design of what Spring Park could look like. Look, that park is what we are named after. That is our history. That is our heritage. That's where the springs were. We need to make that the show place that everybody will be proud of. It's a shame that First Baptist can't be a part of it, but that's a decision that was made by somebody else, right? But we'll have the cemetery back there. We're going to do a fundraiser and rehab the cemetery, make it look nice and pretty again. In September, I think you'll be at the next council meeting. In September, we're starting horse and buggy rides. We have a local vendor that does this in New Orleans, and they do weddings, and they've got their old traditional carriage with big, beautiful horses, and they're going to come on Sunday afternoons and start giving rides. So you can take a ride from City Hall, downtown, pass up the old cemetery, pass up old First Baptist Church, go down to the park, make the big loop, come back up River Road. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you see in New Orleans, right?
Right.
Well, why not Denham Springs? And these folks are local, and we're writing an ordinance so that we can kind of control whoever shows up. They have to get a permit. We want to make sure it's a safe wagon, licensed, they have insurance so that everybody's protected. So all that goes into the feel of what we want to see downtown Denham Springs, to protect the history that we have here and the heritage that we have here, and show off our heritage. We have a lot to be proud of right here.
Right.
We really do.
Yeah, and there's a potential for a lot to be done. I know that there's been several discussions. The initial was just trying to find a way to get some sidewalks and lighting from downtown to Spring Park. From there, there's been discussion about what can be done with where the church was, what can be done extra, as you've already brought up, at Spring Park.
Sure.
As you already said, one of the things that I don't know if you necessarily campaigned on it, but you brought it up during your campaign, water access.
Go see the river.
Right.
Why do we wait for it to go see us? Come see us, right? And in this landscape guy, this map that he did was an overhead map. He's got a landscape beautifully. Now, not nothing extravagant. Something that's easily to maintain, natural. He's got where the spring is right now is actually used to be the Amy River. You can actually see it when he does his topo map, which is pretty impressive. And then when I asked him about the access to the river, he said, look here, Mayor. And he drew it out on we did it by Zoom. He said, look, he took his little thing and it's a half a mile there and a half a mile back. 10-minute walk. Okay. So the thoughts are out there, and we have a lot of folks involved that are historians, like Miss Florence Crowder. There's nobody that knows our history more than she does. But she's on the committee, and she's the one that's trying to help make sure that we save our history the best way that we can. We're not going to put a riverboat casino. We don't need that.
Right. But I don't know if it'd fit either.
Well, I doubt that too. But when it's finally dredged, which is what they're starting on now, they're starting to clean and desnag the A-meter on the south end. And so when it passed by through here, it should make a significant difference in how it looks and how it feels. And we're looking forward to that very, very much.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking the time. Of course, some of that speculative, some of it not. I mean, the church has been bought out. It is going to eventually get demolished, as will those homes you discussed. There's going to be a lot of open land there,
mm-hmm.
A lot of potential.
If you don't have a plan, I can promise you it won't happen.
Right.
Okay. So.
But you got to be careful. You don't want to get caught up in the circle of, as my late father used to say, meet to plan to meet. Yeah. Right. No.
Well, I fight that at every.
Right.
I do.
Got to have a purpose of the meeting.
That's right. That's right.
So thank you, sir. You want to reintroduce yourself real quick?
Gerard Landry, the mayor of 7.5 square miles of pure paradise on earth.
And my name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. Appreciate this gentleman for taking some time and coming back and joining us again for the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show. Please remember the news is on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. We are once a week in print on Thursdays at $7 a month. To get that in your mailbox, we're also online, www.livingstonparishnews.com. One last time, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next time.